Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
A woman who only likes women, go ahead, identify as a lesbian. But some women have penises, and if the fact that some lesbians might be attracted to those women offends you, it's because you don't think trans women are real women. That's because these accusations of homophobia make it sound like I'm trying to convince lesbians to like men, but I'm not. I'm trying to show that preferences for women with vaginas over women with penises might be partially informed by the influence of a cis-sexist society. There's the possibility of your genital preferences being at least somewhat partially informed by growing up in a cis-sexist society. There's also the fact that a preference is different than saying you would never do something. Like having a preference for tall women.
That's Riley J. Dennis, a video blogger for EverydayFeminist.com. Dennis identifies as a person who was born a male but now says he's a lesbian trans woman whose gender is fluid, trying to explain, well, I'm not exactly sure what he's trying to explain. Of course, he would be deeply offended that I refer to him with the masculine pronoun he, but the fact remains he is a he. But how is it that transgenderism has, in the matter of less than 3 years, perhaps even less than 2 years, not only gained political ascendancy, political affirmation, but in effect has also become really, really bossy about what they're trying to tell us? Joining us to talk about transgender ideology and sex, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of a recent column, "These Two Videos Reveal Trans Ideology's Goals, Ending Sex and Normalizing Abuse." Joy, welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
How did transgender activists suddenly become so bossy, telling us what to think and say?
Well, I think there's a couple of answers to that question, but the most direct one is that the Supreme Court forced gay marriage on the nation through the Obergefell decision a couple years ago. And so I wrote in a piece previous to this one about how that decision has begun to trickle into lower courts, and it's affecting the trans issue because what it does is de-sex institutions in public society. So if it says that the institution of marriage doesn't require opposite sex coupling, then that provides a legal basis for unsexing a bunch of other things that happen in our society, such as bathrooms, such as, you know, school locker rooms, YMCA showers, and the like. So I think, you know, really, it's actually, I've also seen documents that talk about how the LGBT folks were ready for, they were expecting that Supreme Court decision, and they were preparing to immediately move right into the trans agenda directly after with a number of public relations campaigns, and we've been seeing that exactly happen.
Going into our conversation, we heard from Riley J. Dennis, this video blogger who was born a male, now identifies as a lesbian trans woman whose gender is fluid. In that video, I watched it deeply confused, was all that it left me. You've watched it and written about it, Joy. What point is this troubled young man trying to make?
Well, it's pretty evident, you know, from the title of the video and the kind of post that encloses it, Everyday Feminism. And it goes something like, you know, if you have genital preferences in dating, does that make you anti-trans? So he's basically trying to say to folks that if you personally want to physically interact intimately, I'm trying to be child-friendly here, it's difficult with this topic. If you want to intimately interact with someone with a particular biological plumbing, your internal preferences may display bigotry against transgender people because basically they're shapeshifters. You know, they could have either set of plumbing and it may or may not match the male or female identity that they proclaim.
Okay. I'm going to try to put that in English again, trying to be child friendly. And I essentially read there is, if I am attracted to women as women have been defined up until 15 seconds ago, then it's very likely that my preference in that respect has been totally shaped by what Dennis called a cis-sexist culture.
Yes. And what that basically means is, you know, where the majority of people want to, you know, couple according to opposite sex biology, man, woman.
It's a pretty sweeping indictment of every heterosexual, and for that matter, really, even homosexual lesbian person out
there,
isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And that's why, actually, there was dissension within the LGBT, you know, identified folks. I don't like to use the word community because, you know, community implies a lot of things, and I don't think that that designation typically represents. But anyway, so there's a lot of discussion among people who are gays and lesbians about whether transgender really is a good fit with their cause. And I think this is one of the, you know, suggestions that it's not. Because this young man is basically saying that 95 to 99% of humanity are bigots, you know, because we, you know, have an attraction to the opposite sex or even, I mean, any specific sex at all. He says if we're not willing to experiment with any plumbing, then, you know, we need to check our assumptions because they've been shaped by basically a bigoted culture.
You also had an opportunity to look at, this is kind of the cause celeb of this week, and that is Bill Nye's Netflix program, wherein I think it was intended to be comical. A comical music number was performed. How would you describe it to us, again, in family-friendly terms, and what is your response to it?
I honestly have to say that I watched it, of course, several times to write about it, and I couldn't stop laughing because it was repulsively funny. Like, it was funny in the same way that someone stepping into a big pile of dog poop is funny. So that's really, I don't think, what the folks were going for. Let me think about how to explain it. So there was a humorous performer, someone named Rachel Bloom. She appeared on Bill Nye's new Netflix show, and they were performing a techno rap kind of thing, basically talking about how we, you know, again, we should be all excited about exploring, you know, every kind of body combination under the sun. So actually what I found funny about it was how repulsive it was. You know, basically says, I mean, I don't know about other people, but I don't really find confusion all that exciting. And if you think that you're getting, you know, a certain thing that is being presented to you by a person's body, and then you take that person home or you start dating them, you know, or you even get married to them, I quote from a New York Times article where a transgender professor from Barnard College is talking about saying, you know, claims that people who have been married for years will come out and surprise their partners with, you know, being transgender. Anyway, so the notion that can happen, I think, is extremely off-putting and likely to reduce the amount of people's sexual exploration rather than encourage it.
It's part of the reason that people like you and I don't think I'm out too far out of the mainstream, pretty boring individual, find this so confusing is because, to put it bluntly, this is crazy.
Yes. Well, and actually the funny thing to me is that I think it's actually funny to me because it's so crazy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people swinging from the trees, eating bananas and telling you I should try it and actually put on a monkey suit and live like that for a year. You know, it starts out funny, but then it gets really sinister once the people, you know, start in kind of enforcing and coercing others into their vision of, you know, an exciting new, you know, brave new world.
Why, Joy, do you say that this does give us a hint into the agenda of trans activists, and that is the elimination of sex altogether?
Right. Well, actually, I mean, it's counterintuitive because of all the messaging that we're getting from pop culture. But I talk in the article about how this is one more consequence of the sexual revolution, right? Basically, which says, do whatever you want, naked, however you feel, and it's all good. And, of course, there's lots of different manifestations of that, and the trans movement is just one of them. But basically, all of the results of doing that lead to suffering. You know, people are not only not happy, you know, they're diseased, they're damaging each other, you know, it's just unpleasant. People think that they're going to be getting, you know, good out of this, but really what they're getting is chaos. And when there is chaos, the most vulnerable people are always the most affected. And of course, you know, right at the top of the list, there are women and children. And so I, you know, continue to talk about that, starting out with laughter, but ending, you know, with not only, you know, anger, but very, you know, I just feel very deeply offended that a man wants to say to me that I need to look at his naked body, you know, in my shower, and if I don't like it, you know, then I'm a bigot. No, sir, you know, That's the kind of thing that a rapist says. That's the kind of thing that an abuser says. And to hear that kind of messaging coming from someone, you know, is just deeply disturbing, especially as someone who has had experience with people who are, you know, highly emotionally manipulative.
So really, that was the other part of your insight here, is that what's being traded here is traditional views of sex, not just traditional views of sex, but the whole thing, everything gets erased. And we start over again with a completely blank whiteboard, but also opening the door for what you just mentioned, abuse. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, what we have in this video of this young man, you know, is someone telling us again that we should not have the power to define what, you know, we are comfortable with as women in our vulnerable spaces. You know, when I'm undressing to get ready to swim a couple laps at the pool, you know, I know that that's a place, you know, where I am in more danger than I am just walking around in public. You know, and so women have always taken steps to protect themselves. We're more aware, you know, we're on alert in those situations. And so for a man to come in and tell me that I shouldn't feel that way, he's shaming me for feeling that way and for wanting to protect, you know, my innocence, my body, my boundaries. You know, again, this is precisely the sort of language that an abuser uses to control his victims. And it's emotionally damaging, and it's, you know, it's a control system that, again, emotional, sexual, physical abusers use this kind of language in order to coerce their victims into staying quiet, which allows them to continue their abuse.
Are there any...
Now you got me mad, Todd.
Are there any voices still in the ranks of the sexual revolution that are willing to raise their hand and say, okay, we thought it might have been a good idea to buy into the trans agenda, but now I'm beginning to wonder whether or not we should roll back the clock?
Well, absolutely, and in a lot of different ways. And the reason that a lot of folks don't know about them is simply because, you know, these voices are not given the platform that the people who espouse, you know, the one unified agenda are given. So I've been in correspondence with a lot of people from a variety of backgrounds, you know, from all the way from the stereotypical, you know, very conservative religious types, but all the way, you know, up to lesbians who say, look, you know, for a man to come and tell me that I need to be interacting with a male body when I find that repulsive and threatening, you know, they also find that offensive and abusive. So, I mean, there's also, you know, among the gay community, this is extremely controversial. Not that, you know, it's really entered public discourse, but I've had a lot of correspondence with folks such as that, as well as what are, you know, called radical feminists, who are also deeply offended, you know, just in the women's rights way, about people telling us what we're supposed to feel about, you know, their naked bodies being pushed into our vulnerable spaces.
Finally, then, do you think that this is just kind of a spasm of temporary insanity, or do you think that this is a path that the sexual revolution is on? They've opened the door, they cannot close it again.
Well, I actually do. I mean, I have, like all of us, my doubts about the sanity of the American public, but I actually think that a lot of this sort of crazy stuff, like what we're talking about, is really not well known among the American public. And the more that it is, you know, the more that there's going to be kind of a readjustment among public, like the more that we hear, you know, that the LGBT agenda is not about just saying to our neighbors, look, you know, your private life can stay your private life, make your own choices. That's fine. You know, we're not going to come into your bedrooms in the dead of night and stick the police on you, okay? That's what most Americans really thought they were signing up for. They did not sign up for, you know, having men push women around in vulnerable situations. They did not sign up for putting boys next to girls in their school showers and on their overnight away trips. You know, they did not sign up for, you know, the kind of the inevitable situations that are going to arise as we work this out in society. So again, the question just, I think, becomes, I don't think it's an either or, either outcome of what you said. I mean, I do think, of course, these problems are going to progress and get worse, but at the same time, this always happens with social, you know, social movements in the United States. There's a big giant push, and it looks like one side has won, you know, whether the social conservative types or the socially liberal types, and America always recenters. So we, you know, I don't know how long that will take, but I do expect some of that to happen.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of a recent column titled, These Two Videos Reveal Trans Ideology's Goals, Ending Sex and Normalizing Abuse. You can read it and her other columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We have email that's been piling up for some weeks and some comments as well. We'll try to respond to as much of it as we possibly can in the last 40 minutes of the program live this Wednesday, April the 26th. Stay tuned. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
This is Pastor Philip Hauser with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska. We're faithful to the Lutheran confessions as recorded in the Book of Concord, and our services are traditional Eucharistic liturgies in accordance with the ancient texts Saturday evening and Sunday morning. If you're ever in Omaha, come visit us. We're on Lincoln Street between 84th and 96th in Papillion. Our website is lambofgodlcms.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.